Good morning, family. Welcome to another episode of Inside the Armor. I'm your co-host, Boone, and I'm joined by my partners in podcast preeminence,
Joe,
Russ.
And collectively, our mantra is iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time. What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's happening?
Man, I'm so glad to sit with you guys, man. It's been some kind of week, bro. But I'm glad to be able to sit with you and pray with you, because it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference in my life. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. One more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to talk to you guys.
All right. So today we're going to deal with a topic that we have discussed on several occasions, but we put a spin to it. We gave it a title. And the title of this podcast is, Are You Injured or Are You Hurt? Life is a contact sport.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is contact.
Yeah.
And the way this came up, as we know, there's so many things that that affect our lives, you know, and sometimes our feelings get hurt, and then other times we are hurt deeper, and I related to sports injuries. So I remember as a kid, we were at a little league football game, and one of the kids came off the field, running off the field, and he was like, coach, man. He was crying, coach, he poked me in my eye. He poked me in my eye. So the coach looked at the kid and he said, what do you mean he poked you in your eye? He said, yeah, I was out there playing and he poked me in the eye. So the coach grabbed him by his helmet. I never will forget this. And he said, are you injured or are you hurt? He said, because football is a contact sport, son. So if you're injured, maybe you need to take on another sport like checkers or chess. So with that, it stuck with me for years. And then it came into play when we're talking about life issues, right?
Yeah.
Are you injured or are you hurt? And you have to be able to determine the difference between the two.
Right.
And respond to each one the right way. So that's what I want us to talk about today.
Yeah.
Are you injured or are you hurt? Because life is a contact sport.
Man, that's good. That's a good intro. Great, great intro. Great topic. Challenged me. I know, you know, when you're saying that, man, it just brings up all kind of memories, because I played sports all my life. So, you know, I can look back on those moments and now being a, excuse me, a grown man, you know, relating those moments to exactly what you said. Am I injured or are you hurt or are you injured? And I think it's a great question to ask ourselves on many aspects of our lives. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into this and challenging our thoughts.
Yeah. A lot of it has to deal with things that happen in our past, and we tend to not be able to get past that hurt. And so we carry baggage into many different relationships, whether they be business, whether they be personal. And the baggage just keeps getting heavier and heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got things that weigh you down like that, you have to be in a position to say to yourself, okay, I can't let this thing put me or send me to a dark place. Mm-hmm. So you have to get past that hurt. And the things that have happened in the past, you know, we pray that you'll be able to put them behind you, because look at it, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, really. And it's the trick of the enemy to let your past be a weight, be a burden on you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I recall, and while I'm on that subject, I recall, now this is crazy, but back in elementary school, Big Brother B was so uncoordinated, I couldn't do jumping jacks.
Wow.
And I know you're like, jumping jacks.
Yeah, right.
As a part of our daily physical education is what we called it. You know, I had to do jumping jacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I couldn't get that thing down for nothing. Mm. And one of my classmates, I know her name, and I'm not going to say it, even though I know she's not. Anyway.
This day, you know her name.
Yeah. She said,
that's funny.
She said my name. She said, you can't do nothing.
Mm.
Yeah. And guys, brothers,
yeah,
that was over 50 some years ago, and I still remember it like it was yesterday.
Gracious.
And wow. And when, trust me, when I have my moments when I fumble the ball,
right,
when I have my moments when I've thrown an interception, I still hear her voice.
Wow.
Saying,
that's powerful.
You can't do nothing.
Wow, man.
And now granted, when you find yourself fumbling or throwing interceptions, mm-hmm. you got to have a short memory.
Yes.
You've got to have a short memory. So when I hear that voice, I tend to, you know, have my moment, and then it's like, okay. You know, the offense is back on the field. I got to get back out there. I can't say I don't feel like playing because next man up, that second string quarterback is like, hey, I'll take your snaps.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So Joe, let me ask you a question, because I know, you know, that this came to you. What's the difference between hurt and injured?
So if we use it, if we look at it, this is my interpretation.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist.
Okay.
I'm just a guy.
Yeah, right.
That has lived a life of being injured and being hurt.
Okay.
So I will liken it to, let's imagine you are, like we were talking about the sports analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And you get poked in the eye, right?
Right.
With that, you will have the opportunity to sit on the sidelines for a minute, get yourself together, and get back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Same game, somebody gets their right leg broken. Now this person's not getting back in the game for a while. So okay. They have to go on the sideline and they have to actually seek help
mm-hmm.
to correct that injury.
Mm-hmm.
So when we related to life situations, I'm thinking, I'm placing that in the same bag as Boone just mentioned, somebody saying that he'll never get anything done. He'll never be able to do anything right. Right.
Right.
So that's a hurt.
Yeah.
That's a hurt that you can get past with some level of maturity, with some other, even though it still stings at times.
Right. But
that's something that you can possibly get past.
Okay.
But then you talk about somebody who has been abused as a child.
Right.
Witnessed their parents in an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That could cause injury.
Gotcha.
And so one, you may be able to work out and get through just by relationship or growing to a level of maturity. The other one, you need to seek help, because if you're injured, that thing can affect you for the rest of your life. And it'll affect you into the relationships that you get involved in. It'll affect you into how you deal with certain situations. So being able to determine the difference. Okay, Did this hurt my feelings?
Right.
Or did this hurt my core?
Got it. Got it. Makes sense.
So that's my definition of it. That's how I see it.
Yeah. No, that's good. Cause I know when we were preparing and you mentioned it, I did some, you know, digging, and I never really thought about it until the topic came up about injuries. And I pulled something up that I thought was really profound as we all take inventory of our lives as men, right? It says there's three types of injuries. There's acute, overuse, and chronic. And just briefly, I thought it was interesting. I looked up all three of those, and the acute injury is caused by a tragic event, right? Mm-hmm. So just bear with me for a second. You know, just think about your life and think about injuries that you may have incurred over your life. And again, mm-hmm. acute injury is something from a tragic event. It also has says overuse, which means it's something, you know, over time, gradually the injury happens, or chronic. And chronic is something that has lasted 3 months or more.
Mm.
And anyway, I just, you know, as I was, you know, not contemplating, but just meditating on the, you know, the injury, it really opened up a lot of things within my life. I said, what are your injuries? And, you know, at what level have you experienced those injuries? And are they affecting your life and your relationships with people that you love and care for? And anyway, it was just it just opened my mind up to a lot of things to, you know, to make me focus in on things in my life. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that to the table. Three types of injuries: acute, overuse, and chronic.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, powerful stuff.
So one of the things that I found myself doing as I got out of elementary school and started doing jumping jacks,
okay,
correctly,
right?
You can take things that people say and use those things as motivation to mm-hmm. propel you to greatness. And like it really blesses me when I see or hear an athlete or someone in a line of work where they're told that they will never amount to anything. And you look at them now, it's like, wow.
Mm. Right.
Because they took that, whatever it was that was said to them, whatever it was that was did to them, done to them rather. And they use that as fuel.
Yeah.
And the other way to look at that is being burdened down, like I said before, being burdened and weighed down by that, where you can't get off the mat. You can't get off the bench. So try to make a choice to say, look, I'm not going to let that keep me here.
Mm-hmm.
It's only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And because I failed, that doesn't make you a failure.
That's right.
Great point.
And when things happen, when stuff happens in our lives, mm-hmm. three things happen. Those things will either defeat you, mm-hmm. define you, or develop you.
Yeah.
And you've got to let those things develop you.
That's right.
And it's going to happen. It happens over time. It's not like magically and in the twinkling of an eye, you go from defeat to victory. No, it's a process.
Sure.
Yeah.
And make sure that you learn throughout that process. And I heard somebody say that for me, there's no such thing as winning and losing. It's winning and learning, because those experiences hopefully will teach you things. You'll learn from those experiences. So no, I don't lose. I learn.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So in understanding, going back, you have to be able to identify what those triggers are.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yep.
That's a shameless plug for the Pain podcast.
Yeah, right.
We have to understand what the root causes are. So I was on a missions trip in Detroit, and one of the things that we had to do on this trip, they had a community garden, and they had a bunch of planters, above ground planters that they had created. So we were working with this organization that feeds the hungry or feeds the community. And they have these community gardens for people to come and grow their own food, right? So our job that day was to weed these gardens so that they can prepare them for the coming spring and people can start planting. So to try to imagine this, if you can, this is this big, I guess it was probably about 10 by 12 above ground garden. And you have a bunch of guys down on their knees, hands and knees, and we're weeding, trying to clear it out. And I noticed that when one weed I would dig up, I would find the plant itself, and I would pull that plant, and it would have a root that ran underground. And as I'm pulling that plant, there would be another plant attached to that root that would pull up out of ground. And then by the time I would find the actual root of that plant, the actual start of that plant, it may be 5 feet further away from where I was.
Okay.
So it at that moment, God said, this is how things are manifest in your life. You're pulling up the plant that you can see, but the root of it is way down here, five feet away from you.
Yeah.
And you need to get to the root in order to kill the plant. Because otherwise you could pull that one little flower that you see or one little weed that you see, but the root is still going to grow because there's another plant right behind it. And then there's another one that can grow from there. So when we're talking about understanding the hurts or the injuries that we experience,
right,
we need to not just look at what we're dealing with on the surface, but we have to dig deep and find the root. When we were talking about the anger it starts with name calling for you, Russ.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
To a whole nother level.
Come on, bro. Thank you.
That's that root. That you were dealing with the surface, but
yes, sir.
That root that you got to kill. So
yeah, man.
Anyway.
Nah, that's good. Boy, when you were talking, I was just like, man, that I was, you know, again, self-reflective, man. That's an injury that you know, if you listen to the past podcast on anger, I think I made it clear. My injury occurred when I was a little boy, you know, being called the N-word. And, you know, I think I told y'all it made me stronger. I use it as I've said many times, I own that word now. I told you, we discussed it before. I don't like calling it the N-word, but I know that's the politically correct thing. And I know people are offended by that word. But I've learned, to your point, Boone, to turn it around. I turned around. I own that word now. It doesn't carry the weight that it did back then.
Right.
I'm a completely different person, but at the end of the day, I know other triggers, other things like that are still small roots within me or strong, what do you call it? Can try and peel the scab off, but I'm still working on making sure that, that particular injury doesn't come to a point where it governs my life, right? Because I think that's part of taking inventory of your life as men, and take under consideration what are your injuries, what are our injuries that can cause life changing circumstances,
right?
So anyway,
and so have any of y'all been stuck because of it, like? Has something come into your life that caused you just can't move forward because of that hurt or that injury, that anything that you can think of? But
I can, but I mean, right off my bat, I can think of a couple of times when I've had some failed business ventures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got stuck in a little area in my life of, I looking back on, I've definitely called it depression, in inability to move. So yes, I've been there. Know exactly how that feels. Okay.
Yeah, I've gotten stuck. As a matter of fact, fairly recently, I was unemployed for eight months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by God's grace, I was still getting an income. But having to look for work, having to go through the interview process, mm-hmm. I hadn't done that in what, over 40 years.
Right. Wow. Wow.
And so it was a whole different level of complexity for me.
Sure.
To have to go through that. And I certainly did not want to let that weigh me down, if you will. Now, granted, when people hear that you're unemployed, they sympathize with you. But when you throw in the fact that, but yes, I'm still getting paid, you know, from my previous employer, their sympathy level turns off. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but that faucet runs dry. I mean, that faucet is going to be turned off fairly soon.
Right.
Sure.
So I was stuck in a pattern of trying to find work. Yeah. And I used that as a motivation to better myself. Now, granted, I didn't exactly utilize those 8 months to learn a completely new skill. But what I did decide to do was to sharpen skills that I have and gain momentum into or for the next position.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, granted, you know, every morning waking up, not working, it was different for me. It was different. And I did find myself getting stuck, but thankfully, because I do have responsibilities, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
My creditors certainly don't want to hear, "Oh, you lost your job, poor thing."
Oh, you know, man.
Yeah, right.
They don't want to hear that.
No, they do not.
Now, granted, during COVID, in the midst of COVID, they gave you a little leeway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would say, "Oh, you know, you don't have to pay right now," but they didn't forgive you.
Yeah, you still
would have had to pay eventually.
Exactly.
You're still going to pay. Just not
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I got stuck a little. But like I said before, I couldn't exactly let that be quicksand because I still have responsibilities.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
But it was a humbling experience to wake up in my first job was to find a job, or my next job was to find my next job, basically.
Right.
Yeah. That can be a motivator. I as well was hurt by being released from the fire department. Remember, you know, we talked about that, and after my injuries, and I was actually back working, training other firefighters. And then they came and told me that I was being retired, which I said was an excuse for fired.
Right.
And so even though I got paid as a retired firefighter, man, did it do some damage for my self-esteem. So anyway, time for a break, brothers.
All right.
We'll come back and talk some more.
Sounds good.
Are you ready to join the billion-dollar podcasting industry? If so, Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio is ready for you. Whether you're just starting out and have no equipment, or you're a seasoned pro but need help with production, Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio has everything you need. Conveniently located in Middletown, Delaware, Blake's state-of-the-art production facilities make producing your first or 100th podcast a breeze. No matter what kind of project you have in mind, the professionals at Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio can help with your production or give you the tools to produce it on your own. At the heart of Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio is award-winning blogger, vlogger, and CEO Antoinette Blake, and her goal is simple. to help one more entrepreneur be successful. So stop making excuses and start making your podcast, audiobook, e-course, and other online dreams come true. Call Blake's Booth Podcasting Studio now, 302-261-3530. That's 302-261-3530.
Hey, what's up, fellas? If you're looking for healthy, thought-provoking conversations on a variety of topics dealing with life issues, be a transparent, open dialogue for men who need a dose of honest, engaging, and heartfelt discussions, tune in to Inside the Armor, airing Mondays at 8 a.m., hosted by
Joe,
Russ,
and yours truly, Boom. We would love to have you vibe with us as we talk about our trials and our triumphs, our messes and our successes. Join us for Inside the Armor Mondays at 8 a.m. Iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time. We're back. Yes. Joe, you were going to share with us how it felt to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
Retired in air quotes, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Talk to his brother.
Man, so, oh man, this, I think this would be a good explanation of injured and hurt.
Okay.
So being a firefighter and getting quote unquote hurt on the job, right? Mm-hmm. I was burned up pretty bad in back in 99 and almost lost my life as a result of it. And two of the firefighters that were with me that night did lose their lives. And so that was a time when I was injured because it took me a while. I needed help to get past that injury. I couldn't mm-hmm. do it on my own, right? So, you know, I spent time in the hospital and had nurses and doctors helping me through that. Once I got out of the hospital, I had to, Kim spent a lot of time pouring into me and working on my self-esteem again. Right. I had to go and get psychological help to deal with some of the things that was going on in my life. So that was an injury. I was injured physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Mm.
Then I finally came back and I was actually working. And I was working at the training academy, and I was training firefighters. And even though being a trainer wasn't my thing as I thought, but right. it was God moving me to where we are right now, right?
Sure, this, sure.
Because right now I was never one to speak publicly about my feelings, emotions, and all that thing, but he used that moment. So it went from being injured to gaining momentum through motivation to get back to firefighting. And then I was retired mm-hmm. about 4 years after that. I think it was 4 years. I was actually working for about 4 years, and they came and I remember the fire chief. I remember the day when he came down to the academy and told me, you know, Morgan, we're going to enter you into the retirement program and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I was devastated.
Okay.
I was devastated. And I came out of that. And I came out of that with the with not knowing who I was. And I remember sitting in the house with Kim mm-hmm. crying about, you know, that's, you know, I'm a firefighter. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's not who you are, man. That's what you did.
Right. Good point.
You are my, and we weren't married at the time, but she said, you are my man. Mm-hmm. You are a father. You are a brother. You are an uncle. She started naming all of these things where she sure. said, this is who you are. The firefighter is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I was hurt because of what they, you know, being retired. So I was injured on the job.
Mm.
I was hurt because of the retirement, but then it motivated me to get my my fire inspector certification. It motivated me to get my some of the other certifications that I hold. And then now I'm able to function in a job, function in life, not just for the job, but function in life, knowing that those things are behind me and I can move forward to do greater things that God has already designed for me.
Man, just as you were describing that, boom, I don't know how that hit you, man, but I was listening to him and I was just like, okay, he's in the game. You know, you just mentioned the hurt injury. So you sort of came to the sideline, right?
Yeah.
You know, and got your injury healed enough for you to get back into the game. I was just picturing it, just watching that, how you just described that, Joe. Anyway, that's powerful, man. Like getting back in the game. And I think that's a key point that if I had to, you know, we had to put a pin in it, as we say sometimes, that's a key point.
It's
back in the game.
Get back.
Yeah, and as I listened to Joe, what blessed me was the fact that he had a support system.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And a trainer.
And yeah. That's what we need. We need support systems.
Got to have support system.
One of the most moving memories in sports that I've seen is, and you guys Google it when you get a chance, but there's a clip out there of Byron Leftwich, who at the time was quarterback. I think he went to West Virginia, but he got hurt.
Okay.
And his teammates picked him up and carried him back to the huddle so that he can continue to play.
Right.
And you're talking about a support system. So as Joe was talking, I got to thinking about that clip in my mind where he could have easily said, you know, I can't carry on. Let me go to the sideline. His boys was like, no, we need you out there. They picked him up, carried him back to the huddle so that he could play. I mean, it's, you talk about motivation.
Sure.
So check it out when you get a chance.
I definitely will. No, yeah, that's good.
Byron Leftwich, who now is the, I think he's the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Got it.
DC product.
H.D. Woodson High School.
There you go.
No, I know you're talking about. Well, when you were just describing it, but I was saying to myself, you know, you talk about that they carried him back to the huddle, right? And I was saying to myself, because, you know, you just said, you know, life is a contact sport. I just thought about, like, so if you're out there and you're, you know, we talked about this, and I think in podcast one about accountability, you're out there on an island. So if you're on an island and you get injured, hurt or injured, let's say injured,
come on.
You don't have nobody around you, no teammates, no one.
Come on.
I'm sitting here saying to myself, man, that's a dangerous place to be in. You know, just as you were describing that, I was saying to myself, because I've been there. We talked about that. I've been on an island, but man, that's crazy when you think about it. So, it is, man, a team sport up in here.
That right there is so powerful because, like you said, having that accountability, having that support system, having a corner man or woman, you name it, having assistant or CEO or what's it, vice president, having it doesn't matter what the position is or what the title, you know, what it doesn't matter if it's a business. It doesn't matter if it's home life.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's a sport. It doesn't matter if it's a friendship. Having that person that is available to walk you through that is so amazing. And it ties in. So I told you I was taking this class, and the scripture that we were given that to expound on or do an expository preaching on. The one that I was given is called The Value of a Friend.
Oh man.
And it comes from Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
And it says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor.
Right.
And it says, if they fall, the other one will lift up his companion.
Okay.
If one has no one to help them,
mm-hmm.
how are they going to get back up?
Man.
And that ties right back to what
yeah, it does. That ties right into it.
Living on an island, isolated, who's going to lift you up?
Come on, brothers. Come on, y'all. Come on, man. Come on. Think about that.
It reminds me of something I heard, and I know I'll tell the story all wrong, but there was a great flood in a city, and the guy was on top of his roof
mm-hmm.
praying to God. I said, God, please send me some help. So then, you know, somebody in a boat comes by, says, hey, come on down off the roof and get in the boat. And the guy yeah. said, no, go ahead, because God's going to send me some help. And then another means of help comes along, and he says, oh, they tell him to get in the helicopter. He's like, no, go ahead, because God's going to send me some help. And then finally the guy dies. And
wow.
when he gets to heaven, he asks God, said, God, I prayed. Why didn't you send me help? He said, I did. I sent you a boat. I sent you something, whatever the other second thing was, and I sent you a helicopter.
That's funny.
That is funny.
I slaughtered that joke. But anyway.
No, it's good. We got the point.
It makes so much sense that, you know, people say, well, God's going to, you know, God's with me. He's going to take care of me. Yeah, he is with you. And he is going to take care of you. But you got to recognize that he will send those things that you need. And it may come in the form of another person. Man. And we have to recognize that. Yeah. But anyway.
That's sense? Good. Man. Yeah.
I sent you a helicopter and a boat. What you want?
Oh, man. Sometimes we are so feeble in our attempts to understand this thing. But that's what I love about, one of the things I love about God, man, just sending the resources and then allowing us the freedom, the free will to try and figure it out, mm-hmm. you know. If anything I've learned from you brothers, man, is to listen to counsel, listen to brothers, you know, care about you, man. And even when you hear stuff that you don't want to hear, pertaining to your injury. Yeah. Yeah. You have to be able to submit to another cat, man, and just listen sometime. And, I've met guys that, I think I told y'all before, I've met guys that aren't accountable to not one person on this planet.
Yeah.
Like they can't. And as I tell my nieces all the time, you know, ask that young man, who's he accountable to?
Right.
And if he don't have nobody in his life, especially a man, especially a young man, he doesn't have one cat in his life, not a brother, an uncle, a father, a pastor, a boss. Like if there's not one person in his life that he can hear anything from, man, that's a dangerous place. And I know so many brothers are out there like that, man, that, you know, cats that just are, you know, by themselves. And
having the right person talk, because they may have accountability. We talked about this before.
Yep. Yep.
They may have accountability, but it might be the wrong type of accountability. We just, that's important too.
That is important. Right. Yeah. And to know how to help you with that injury, right?
Right.
Yeah. You got to have that absolutely. Cat. Yep. So anyway, man.
Yeah, that goes back to episode one, our very first episode about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Having, as you said, Joe, not just any counsel, but wise counsel. And wise counsel is not yes men.
No. Nope.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
People that know that you shouldn't do a thing, and they're agreeing, oh yeah, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Uh-huh. Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want that. You want wise counsel.
No, you, yeah, you're good.
And then you have to recognize that everybody is not for you.
Right.
So there are people who will encourage you to do stuff like that they know is wrong because they want to see you fail. They want to see you fall flat.
Man.
Because one of the things that hurt people do is hurt people, right? We've heard that so many times. Hurt people.
Yes, we have. Yes.
And so if you're hurting, and then you will, and sometimes it can be unconsciously hurt someone else in the process.
Right. Right.
So, but Boone, you had mentioned something earlier, and it may have been right before we went on break, but you talked about the failures, right? Failures don't make you a failure.
No, I said, yeah, I said, because you fail or something,
mm-hmm. It,
because you fail at something doesn't make you a failure.
Right. That's right. Right. Because failure is a moment in time, right? It's for a specific thing. You failed at something for a moment, but that doesn't define who you are. And I like that the words that you gave, what was it?
When stuff happens in your life,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Three things happen. They will either define you, defeat you, or develop you.
Or develop you.
I like that. Yes. Man,
that guy is good.
Yeah, he is. That boy good.
That boy good. While I'm eating my fried chicken, that boy good, man. Yeah, I love him.
That's it, man. And I know we're winding down. I wanted to get this in real quick because when I was Googling injury, I thought it was a key point. It talks about resolution to mm-hmm. your injury, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna give you sort of the sports analogy. I'll just run through it real quick. It was actually talking about actions to prevent injury, which I thought was pretty profound. But the first one, it says, allow time for warm up. The second was rest or engage another activity. And the third was focusing on strength and conditioning. So when I heard that, you know, obviously that's a sport analogy, right? Mm-hmm. So just, you know, when I thought about the first one, allow time for warm up, I was looking at myself, allowing my daily devotion, that's my warm up, right?
Right.
So that starts there. And then when it said rest or engage another activity, that stands for itself. In other words, take time to rest, meditate, do things that are that can build me up. You know, we talked about exercise and things like that. And then the third mm-hmm. one, focusing on strength and conditioning, I equate that to, on the spiritual side, read, meditate, and pray.
Mm.
Right. I don't know if all that makes sense, but I just thought, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was like, man, I said, that's a prescription for dealing with an injury, man. And I've done some of it. I've obviously fell short at times, but the fact that that is a key way to help prevent injury, I think is something that should be, put some weight to, if you will.
Yeah. So that's all that you said is a great way for someone who is hurt
right.
by their past.
Okay.
And it has them in a holding pattern, has them hostage
right.
to not be able to do anything. And that's a great way to take that first step to get out of that, you know?
Yeah.
And then that builds those small victories. Will start to build momentum.
Mm.
And momentum is energy. And once you get that energy going, then it's like, I don't want to go back to where I was.
Right.
I want to keep moving forward. I want to keep moving forward. And the next thing you know, you're out of it. And going back to episode one, accountability, then you can become an accountability partner for someone else.
Yeah.
And help them get through their issue.
Come on, Joe.
So you can stop focusing on issue.
Come on, man.
Or your hurt. And that's another prescription for healing when it comes to understanding that life is a contact sport.
Yes, it is.
Man. Get back in the game.
Get back in the game.
That's it, man.
That's it.
Y'all guys, I love talking to y'all.
No, man, me too. I told you, I'm laughing because when you said get back in the game, you guys heard, because I've heard from both of y'all when I called and was expounding some of my my issues in life and my injury at the time being hurt, you know, and then you guys, as I heard from you, Joe, you finished, Russ? I said, yeah. He said, man, you sound like you whining, man. Get back in the game.
Get back in the game.
Hey, boom. You know how Joe go, right? He put them glasses. He had the glasses. He pulled his glasses down, looked at me and said, you finished? Okay, dude. Like, get back in the game, Chief. Come on. So, anyway.
That's funny, do you need to take up another sport like Texas?
Oh, boy. That's good, man.
Go ahead, Boone. I see you formulating.
Yeah, I'm formulating as the credits are rolling. So
right.
Oh man.
So we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you so much for vibing with us.
Yeah.
If you have any questions or you want to send us some feedback, please by all means contact us at info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. Again, it's info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Peace.
Peace.